Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. And again, thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming events here at Capital OTB during the championship meet. We appreciate the support of Gulfstream Park. Also, don't forget, this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there is a live bankroll. We'd love to have you stop on by. Put your name in the hat, see if you get on the bankroll team. I will try to juice that bankroll up significantly so everybody walks away with a nice chunk of free money. We'll see how that works out today. But come on down and play along with us here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, or take the option of the online knockout challenge if you're going to be playing from home this afternoon. Check out the website, capitalotb.com, for more information. All right, let's get right into it because, again, it's a fun edition of Racing Across America, Pegasus World Cup Day. I think we've all been anticipating this showdown since the Breeders' Cup, and it's held together. Sometimes in horse racing, we wait for these events, and if they're a little ways down the road, things can fall apart. This has not. This is held together very nicely. Life is Good versus Nick's Go, two superstars with very similar front-end styles. How is it going to play out this afternoon? But on this morning's Racing Across America, we have two of the main players, Todd Pletcher, trainer of Life is Good, Brad Cox, trainer of Nick's Go. We taped those two interviews the past couple of days. Joining us a little bit later live, Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream will give some of his thoughts on today's stakes action as well. So a big show on Racing Across America this morning. And let's kick it off with an interview, Life is Good's trainer, Todd Pletcher. Happy to be joined now by trainer Todd Pletcher. Obviously, Life is Good in the Pegasus coming up on Saturday afternoon, but some other stakes runners as well. He's also got a number of three-year-olds heading into the Derby Trail and whatnot. We'll hit on some of that. Todd, good morning.
Morning.
Happy to have you on board, and we'll start out talking about, obviously, the highlight of Saturday and what folks have been looking for really since Breeders' Cup weekend ended, the matchup between Life is Good and Nick's Go. Give us a little update since the Breeders' Cup. How has Life is Good been training? How is Life is Good coming into Saturday afternoon?
He's doing great. We've been pointing for this race, like you said, since the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and he got a little bit of a short break at Windstar up for a couple weeks and then joined us in Florida, and everything's gone exactly the way we'd mapped out. So it sure looks like an exciting race and two very fast horses, very talented horses, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to take a look while we talk here at the stretch run of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, his last race, phenomenal in there, a 109 buyer, just really a great. Didn't hit the classics, but he was one of the three-year-olds in that really good class of three-year-olds last year and capped it off with this Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And again, everybody's been anticipating this, but it's Life is Good and Nick's Go. Two horses with virtually the same need for the lead style. So what is the strategy on Saturday?
Well, we're going to play to our horse's strengths. He's a very fast horse. He's a good gate horse. So we're going to let him run his race, and I'm sure that the Nick's Go camp feels the same way about their horse. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be a little bit of a rider's race. IRAD's going to have to determine how fast they're going and, see who's in front and who's stalking and when you want to turn up the pressure and how soon and how much and all those things. So, yeah, it's like you say, you got two horses with similar running styles, so. I don't think either one of us are looking to change what's been effective for our horses.
Do you have any concerns about the distance? The horse has been a mile and a 16th successfully, but this is a mile and an eighth. Any concerns there?
If you watch this horse train, you'd have no concerns about anything.
I like that. No concerns about anything. And let me ask you, as I say, we as racing fans have really been anticipating this from the Breeders' Cup, and then it started to firm up, and over the past few weeks, a lot of excitement about it. You and the connections, when you come into a race like this, does this kind of juice you guys up as well?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's something that we've been excited about, you know, for the last couple of months as well. And, you know, I think it's a great race for horse racing. And, you know, this is the kind of matchups that that horse racing fans want to see. So it's exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot of excitement. And finally on this race, I'll ask you, you know, it's only a nine-horse field, so the post position doesn't stand out as much as it can in some other races, but you wound up with the draw on Tuesday, post number four, Knicks go a number one. Any thoughts on the post position draw?
Well, when the field was held to nine, I was a little less concerned about it. As you know, the outside draw going a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream can be difficult to overcome. So with only nine horses, I wasn't sweating it too much. I feel like drawing the rail with Knicks Go kind of forces their hand, which I don't think it really changed what their tactics are going to be, but, you know, it kind of takes any question mark out of it. So we're really happy with the four post, and you know, it's kind of right in the middle, and hopefully get away cleanly and get to the first turn in good shape.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Wish you and the team a lot of good luck on Saturday. But I think, like everybody, we're really looking forward to it. Let's just hit on some of the other runners on the Saturday card. The Pegasus World Cup Turf, Colonel Liam comes back to defend his title. Hasn't been seen since June. Talk a little bit about how he is coming into the race and how training is maybe a little bit different preparing a horse off a long layoff like this to jump into a grade one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to overcome is we don't have a recent prep race, so we had to do a little more with him. We got some good, solid, strong works into him. And he's a willing horse that puts plenty into his training. So, you know, we feel like we hopefully have him fit enough to be able to step up, you know, off the layoff. And we know he likes the turf course at Gulfstream. He's, you know, ran well there last year. And the only thing that's a little different is that last year we had the benefit of the Tropical Derby prep, where this year we're coming in fresh.
Yeah, and we'll watch last year's Pegasus World Cup turf. Colonel Liam here is going to be the number five. Nice closing effort. So two for two over the Gulfstream Park turf course. Does that little bit of a horse for a course kind of an angle give you added confidence coming in off the layoff?
Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, he's a really nice horse on any turf course. He won the Mervin Munoz at the fairgrounds. He, you know, he won the Dead Heated and, you know, at Churchill. And so he's proven that he doesn't need to take his turf course with him, but it is nice to know that he likes Gulfstream.
Also in the race, you have Never Surprised. You talked about Colonel Liam coming in last year off the Tropical Park Derby. Never Surprised comes in off the Tropical Park Derby. And I'm just looking at his PPs here, and we're going to watch him actually win that Tropical Park Derby back at the end of December. Never Surprised is going to be the number two horse. And as I look at the PPs, and I'm a buyer's guy, and the last couple of starts, the win in the Giaponte at Aqueduct and the Tropical Park Derby, a 98 and 97 buyer, which kind of are a move forward for him, indicates to me, and I'll get your opinion, that just he seems to be on the improve and better, got better and was better at the end of the three-year-old season.
Yes, he's improved, and he's starting to, you know, he's got good natural early speed. The challenge has been kind of getting him to settle a little bit. I think he's done that a little bit better in each start since he's come back, and you know, we got a pretty wide draw there with 12, but you know, I think there's enough run to the first turn that hopefully he can find his way over to a good spot.
Yeah, the outside post position clearly being a little bit of an obstacle there. But the Fred Hooper, you have Fearless, comes out of a win in the Harlan's Holiday. Here's another one that a little bit of a horse for a course. Four wins and five starts down at Gulfstream. Second place finish, a Micropoli runner, Fearless. And the second place finish was off a long layoff from May to November. Came back in a starter handicap at Gulfstream in November and ran second. What was your takeaway from that race? Was it just a little fitness builder off the layoff?
Yeah, that was a little bit of it. I didn't love the trip we got that day, but moved him up nicely for the Harlan's Holiday. I thought that was a big performance for him, and he does seem to like Gulfstream quite a bit. So I wish maybe for a little different post, drawing the one hole, going a one turn mile is not ideal, but hopefully there's enough pace in there that he's able to kind of work a trip to get himself in the clear.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. As opposed to the two turns, getting the one hole, the coming out of the chute, the one turn mile, getting the one post position. We just saw him win the Harlan's Holiday there, the replay. But yeah, talk a little bit about that and the one post coming out of the mile chute.
Well, you know, he's a horse that he has tactical speed, but he's not a real quick horse. So you always worry about getting shuffled back and getting stuck on the inside. So, you know, we'll just have to see. Luis is riding great, and I'm sure he'll be able to work him into a good spot.
Pegasus World Cup Filly and Mare Turf, you have Sweet Melania, and another one. You know, she's a five-year-old now, newly turned five-year-old, obviously, as we're in January. But in that middle of December, Suwannee River, and we are going to take a look at that replay. She's going to be the number 10 horse. Again, I'm a buyer's guy, a lifetime best buyer figure. Is she a horse who's maybe on the improve as a newly turned five-year-old?
Yeah, I thought that was a big race for her. She had a good trip and ran down a nice filly that was loose on the lead. Seems to have really done well since that race. She's been training as sharply as ever. And granted, this is a tougher race, but she seems like she's coming up to it in really good order.
And I would have to think the mile and a 16th on the turf, the one is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, I love the inside draw. Hopefully safe ground and take advantage of that.
Let me just, before we let you go, let me ask you about some horses that maybe we'll look for down the road. And I'll start out, and before we went on the air, I asked, and give us a little update on Malathat. Of course, up here in our neck of the woods, we saw her win the Alabama last summer up at Saratoga. And I pulled up the Equibase. No workouts recently, but you said she is with you down at Palm Beach Downs now.
She is. She got a good two-month vacation at Shadwell after the Breeders' Cup, and she came back into us. She's been galloping about a week and looks terrific, gained some weight, filled out, and, you know, we're excited about having her back for a four-year-old year.
Any immediate goal or anything, you know, kind of in mind to kick off her season?
Nah, it's a little too early to say for sure. I mean, a race like the La Troyana at Churchill could be a possibility. Of course, and the Ogden Phipps on Belmont Day would be a possibility. But, you know, the main thing we're focused on is hopefully having a good summer and summer campaign that leads to the Breeders' Cup.
And I wouldn't be surprised also to see her pick up a trophy in a couple of weeks, because she is one of the leading contenders there for the three-year-old filly Eclipse as well. And last week was a Kentucky Derby future pool. You had four horses on there. I'd just like to get a little update on them, because I think they're all – kind of live runners on the Derby trail. Be interesting to see as they kind of kick things off. Emmanuel, boy, this horse looked really good in the career debut in December. Nice win there, solid buyer number. What's up with Emmanuel, and do you have any plans going forward for him, Set?
Yeah, we're hoping to get an allowance race for him and you know, in the next week or so, and if that happens, then hopefully if that goes well, it kind of springboard him into one of the stakes at the beginning of March. So I was impressed by his debut, broke his maiden from the one hole going a mile, which is hard to do, and you know, did it impressively. So looks like an exciting colt.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about that, the mile. As handicappers, a lot of times we look at, you get to a mile or certainly a mile and an eighth, and we think, boy, that's a tough road to hoe for a horse in a debut effort. So is that particularly impressive when they can get it done at one of those distances?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, you know, and it takes a unique horse to do it. We felt like that he had shown us in his training that he was fit enough to give that a try. And, you know, a lot of times it's about timing, and sometimes the condition book doesn't always suit with exactly what you want. So we had the choice between a six furlong or a mile, and I felt like, you know, the mile suited him better.
Major General, talk about that horse, 2 for 2 so far, a win in the Iroquois. That's got to be a bonus to get a win at Churchill in the two-year-old season. What's up next for Major General?
He's He's had three breezes since he's come back after the Iroquois, so he's kind of on schedule for something the first week of March. The Fountain of Youth is on March 5th, so I'd say that's high on the radar as a possibility.
What was the game plan to send him to the Iroquois? Because he broke the maiden, obviously, with your string in New York at Saratoga. So what was the game plan to go to, and as they say, try the Iroquois in September?
Yeah, it's really about timing. You know, we just felt like it was a good opportunity for him. We always love to see how one's going to handle Churchill and getting him stretched out. So really, yeah, it was just more about timing than anything.
Love to get your thoughts on Mo Donegal. Mo Donegal wins the Remsen over Zandon. I came out of that race thinking both of those horses are going to be intriguing to watch going forward. But give me your takeaway from the Remsen. And again, what's up for Mo Donegal?
Well, I thought it was an impressive race from both of those horses. They separated themselves, I think it was 9 or 10 lengths from the third horse. So looks like two promising colts there. He's trained really well since then, and we've been locked in on the Holy Bull for a while. So we got one more breeze to go, but so far so good.
And Verratti, also a debut winner at Belmont back in September. What's up next for Verratti?
Well, it'd probably be some sort of allowance race. He's a tick behind schedule. We're hoping maybe he'd be ready for an allowance race in March. And then, if that goes well, hopefully get into a prep race the first week in April.
Very good. So we'll look for those again. They were all on the future pool last weekend. One more I just wanted to touch on. Last week in an allowance race at Fairgrounds, Pioneer of Medina. I thought that horse was kind of impressive. Fourth career start. The buyer jumped up from the mid-60s to 80. I thought it was a nice win. What was your takeaway from that allowance win over at the Fairgrounds for Pioneer of Medina?
Yeah, I think he's an improving colt. You know, every race he's made a move forward in, able to ship in there and win. And, we were hoping if that went well, maybe it'd set him up for a race like the Risen Star. So we've got that on the radar now, and hopefully everything goes according to plan. But, you know, he's one that definitely seems to be getting a little better with each race.
Yeah, it was a big stakes day over there, which included a lot of undercard three-year-old either maiden or allowance races that tend to produce runners to watch going forward. And of those undercard races, he was the one that kind of stood out to me. So good luck with him going forward. And just before I let you go, as we've talked, we've looked at a lot of horses, and you've mentioned working out horses at Palm Beach Downs. I've never been. I'd love to get up there about an hour north of Gulfstream. For folks who aren't familiar, talk a little bit about training at Palm Beach Downs, what the facility is like, how long you've been there and whatnot.
We've been on and off for 10 years or so, and so it's a 1 mile dirt track with kind of a 7-furlong turf course inside of it. It's only 6 barns on the grounds, which each have 32 stalls on it. Rusty Arnold has some horses there, George Weaver, and Wesley Ward has a few babies. It's a very tranquil setting. It's really good surface. It seems like the horses really enjoy it there. Only about 5 minutes from 5 miles from Palmetto's, so we just enjoy the fact that it's kind of quiet and we don't have to rush the horses for to make renovation breaks. We can kind of make our own schedule there, and we've seemed to have good results there. Seems like the horses run well wherever we ship them. We've had success shipping from there to Gulfstream, from there to Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, back to New York to run at Aqueduct. So seems like they get legged up nicely there and opens up plenty of options.
Yeah, as I say, I'd love to stop by sometime when we're down in Florida, because just looking at the pictures, it looks like just what you said, nice tranquil setting. And so, you had a lot of good luck there. And we wish you a lot of good luck on Saturday with Life is Good. As a racing fan and speaking on behalf of racing fans, good luck. We're looking for like the horse racing version of the Bills versus the Chiefs this weekend at the Pegasus. So good luck to you on Saturday. And Todd, as always, appreciate your taking the time.
All right, Seth, thank you.
Appreciate it. Todd Pletcher, Life is Good in the Pegasus on Saturday.
is the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
As promised at the top of the show, live joining us now from Gulfstream Park, Ron Nicoletti. You see him doing the pregame show, some of the paddock commentary. I always like to talk to Ron on big days like this down at Gulfstream. Ron, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Seth?
Pretty good. And I will let you know, you are in the midst. It's a big morning for us on Racing Across America. You're live, but I've taped a couple interviews. I had the main contenders. We just saw an interview with Todd Pletcher, and coming up a little bit later on, we also taped something a couple days ago with Brad Cox. So you're in good company this morning, Ron.
Yeah, it's going to be just a fantastic day of racing. You know, from first race to the last race, it is so competitive. These races can be a fantastic day as far as the wagering goes. You know, we have sunny skies. You know, it's always beautiful in South Florida. A little chilly today, but we got fast track, firm turf course, and, of course, the Pia.
Yeah, you and I were talking off the air and looking at the weather. You know, up here, we've been watching that storm go up the coast. We just got nipped by it. There was a little dusting of snow here for us this morning, so it wasn't bad. But over the past couple of days, national weather has shown Florida is having cooler temperatures. But I said to you, it kind of moderates out in the afternoon. And to me, it looks pretty good down there regardless. And we were also talking off the air, for folks who may be headed this winter down to Gulfstream Park, there's a nice new area that will be added to the facility. And you said it's opening today. Folks can go to the Gulfstream website, I think, and see some pictures and pick up the Gulfstream Twitter feed. But where exactly is that located? Is that kind of towards the upper part of the stretch?
That's where the old Tiki area was, the old, that big tent area. So it's now called the Carousel Club. And
okay.
It's incredible carousel, actual carousel that's part of the bar. It looks really beautiful. So it's going to be there for a long time. You know, it's just opening today, but it's just, you got to come, when you come down, you'll see it.
Yeah. We're going to be down for Florida Derby. So I'm looking forward to it. As I say, it looks like a nice new addition to the facility down there. So people will get to test it out today and as things will kick off. Do want to note also tomorrow payout in the Rainbow, correct?
Yeah, payout on the Rainbow today. Going in today with a $750,000 gross guaranteed pool. So if it's not hit, and even if it is hit today, it's still going to have mandatory payout tomorrow.
Mandatory tomorrow. Yeah, very good. All right, let's jump into it, and we'll work our way back. We'll look at the Pegasus races, get some of your opinions there, and work our way back. So the Pegasus World Cup. I've been saying it all week in the afternoon. I've been saying it this morning probably half a dozen times already. We have been waiting for this showdown since the Breeders' Cup. And in horse racing, it doesn't often happen that when you wait that long, things hold up and come together. But Nick Sko versus Life Is Good, I can't wait. Two superstars with the same front-running style. When Todd was on, we showed Life Is Good and his Breeders' Cup race. When Brad is on, we'll show the classic and Nick's Go. So while you were on, I just wanted to pull up a little bit of another option, because if it does fall apart, I mean, there's the potential. I think one of these guys is going to get it done, and I'm hoping that they duel all the way down the stretch. But if it does fall apart, I thought Chess Chief perhaps would be an interesting horse to pick up pieces, or Sir Winston. I pulled up Sir Winston from the Valedictory back in December 5th. Sir Winston's going to be the number 11 horse here. So I just wanted to show another option. But as I say, I'm hoping, I'm thinking it's going to be one of the two big guys, Nixgo and or Life is Good. And I'm hoping for a duel all the way to the wire. But what are your thoughts on the Pegasus?
Well, you know, I did go with Nixgo. I just think he's, you know, defending champ and, you know, the 9 furlongs today. And he's got the inside post and the main track has been just favoring horses that run like that. Yeah, Life is Good. If, you know, we've been watching these horses school all week and the beauty contest definitely goes to Life is Good. This horse looks fantastic. And I'm in agreement with you with Sir Winston. That's who I put in third. You know, he's got the, you know, late running style. And if they two could cook each other into the ground, maybe it sets up for a horse like Sir Winston at one of the close. I don't see that happen. I think, no, Nixgo is just going to go and just, you know, put these horses away. That's the way I'm, at least the way I'm looking at it. Would I leave Life is Good off? No. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm with you. Between the two, I tilted towards Nixgo when I finally handicapped the race, just on the experience he won this race. It's funny, you look at his record last year, and it's hard to remember last year when folks were saying, coming into the Pegasus, can he get a mile and eighth? And subsequently answers that question throughout the year and then gets the mile and a quarter in the Classic. So he's a little more proven at the trip, so I tilted towards him. But, boy, we're just looking forward to that this afternoon. And that will go off at scheduled post time, 5:34 today. Races are going to be covered on NBC, so should be a lot of fun. But, of course, we will be tuned into you and the team down there for the paddock commentary and whatnot as well. Let's look a race earlier, the Pegasus World Cup Turf Invitational. And I pulled up your selections from the website. So given that, I pulled up the Tropical Park Derby, and number two, Never Surprised, is going to be the winner here. I just was so man, I wanted to put this horse in my mix. I think this is an improving three-year-old, as we see here, now a four-year-old, but when this race was run last month, a three-year-old. And I think he just got really good at the end of the season. But the post position just concerned me too much. I took a little shot with Sacred Life. Colonel Liam, you talked about the horses schooling in the paddock. Your colleague and ours, Brian Nadeau, was talking to him this morning, and he said Colonel Liam looked like a statue, looked great in the schooling in the paddock the past couple of days. So I think he's on the comeback off a layoff, but I think he's going to come back legitimate. So I went Sacred Life over Colonel Liam. But as I say, pulling up your picks, I will not be shocked to see Never Surprised win. Talk about your picks in the Pegasus turf.
Yeah, I mean, Never Surprised stretching out to the 9 furlongs. Just a pair of head-swirling victories going a mile and 16th in the Tropical Park, the Tropical Derby in the Gio Ponte. So I'm just taking a shot. Colonel Liam, of course, is the one to beat in there. I think it's a major player. And so, and you know, then Sacred Life field pass for minor awards. But I'm just trying. You know, the post, I'm a little concerned with that, but I'm going to see if Never Surprised can get it done. And once again, can't leave Colonel Liam off. I close it out with Sacred Life, of course, and field pass. I think those can get minor shares in there. So I'm taking a little bit of a shot in there.
Yeah, it's only a shot because of the post position. If he had been in two or three posts closer, I would be right with you. And so I may kick myself after the race because, as I say, I think he's an up-and-comer. All right, a little bit earlier, let's wrap up our Pegasus Stakes conversation. Pegasus by name. There are many more stakes on the card today, but the Pegasus World Cup Filly and Mare Turf. And again, picking up your selections from the website, which folks can find every racing day on the Gulfstream Park website. Nice printable page. But one of the things they want to look at, I always check out your long shot play of the day because usually you have a clever opinion. And your long shot play of the day is in the Filly and Mare Turf. Summer in Saratoga, who was entered in a stake last week at Fairgrounds. Trainer Joe Sharp elects to come over to skip that race and come over to Gulfstream. But we're going to look at the last win for that one. The Blushing KD, end of December at Fairgrounds. Number one will be Summer in Saratoga. 12-1 on the morning line. I kind of think this is a clever pick in here. Give us your thoughts on the Filly and Mare Turf.
Well, if you look at the past performance in the race, there's just speed upon speed upon speed. So I just see Summer in Saratoga seems poised to sit an ideal trip in there. It's going to come from the clouds in that race. And I see it. And look, Corey Lanner would be riding. He's going for his third consecutive stakes victory. You just showed one with this horse. And it's all about the pace for me. So looking for a little bit of a long shot, 12-1 on the board. Of course, you got to respect, you know, Regal Glory and Sweet Melania. But those, you know, I just think there's going to be a really hot pace. And that's where I'm going to go with Summer in Saratoga.
Yeah, and we saw the nice closing kick you had in that Blushing Katie just a moment ago. And so if things do fall apart, Summer in Saratoga, very interesting. And as I said, at the morning line price, an interesting play. And again, I will tell people to pull up your selections every racing day and look at the long shot play. And also, typically, if following your Twitter feed or you guys during the afternoon, you all put out pick plays and whatnot. And I heard a conversation over the past week. Brian was saying, man, you were like 5 or 6 in 2 days in a row in the Rainbow.
Yeah, yeah. I keep doing it. I just can't get that other one, so I'm going to try and get it.
Yeah, that is frustrating. We've all been there. Well, I'll remind people again, tomorrow is going to be mandatory in the Rainbow down at Gulfstream, right. But plenty of action today as well. Ron, wish you and everybody down there a lot of fun, a lot of good luck this afternoon. We're all looking forward to it. As I say, we have been since the Breeders' Cup. Talk a little bit about just being there live. What's the buzz been like? Because it's been fun to watch this week. There clearly has been some buzz with all of those Pegasus World Cup Day horses schooling in the paddock. That's added a little fun to the week as well. Talk about the buzz leading into this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been fantastic every day. You know, where our stages, we kept turning around and just you see one fantastic horse after another. So, so we're getting excited. We're about to go on the air in a little while, and we'll see how it plays out today with our selections.
Yeah, looking forward to it, as they say, in a big way. I hope we get that duel down the stretch that we've all been waiting for. Ron will be tuned in this afternoon to you and the whole team down there at Gulfstream. As always, appreciate the visit and the time. Good luck this afternoon. We'll talk again.
You got it. Thanks, sir.
Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park. Again, it's going to be a fun afternoon. I did want to mention Pletcher interview. He mentioned Emmanuel, or we talked about that one. His nice winner from middle of December in the career debut as a 2-year-old. Now we're in January, so a 3-year-old. And he said, yeah, we plan to get an allowance event in sometime, he said, within the next week. Again, we recorded Pletcher a couple days ago, so the entries obviously weren't in yet. But Emmanuel, seasonal debut tomorrow, Sunday, at Tampa Bay Downs. 6th race at Tampa tomorrow. Emmanuel will make the second start of his career. It's an optional claimer, non-winners of one other than a 1.40 at Tampa with a field of 6. Emmanuel on the morning line, even money. So we can look for that one to come back tomorrow at Tampa, Emmanuel. All right, we will take a break. Excuse me. When we come back, we will have our taped interview with Brad Cox, trainer of Knicks Go. Earlier, it was Todd Pletcher, trainer of Life is Good. So the two main contenders showing up here on Racing Across America this morning. So stay tuned. Trainer of Knicks Go, Brad Cox, will be up right after this message. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Baba. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Happy to be joined now by trainer Brad Cox. Of course, Knicks go in Saturday afternoon's Pegasus World Cup, and it's been a great year for Brad. We'll talk about a little bit of all of that. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board, and you know, I want to kick things off first. Just congratulations on a great year. You're a finalist for the Trainer Eclipse. Four of your horses are up for individual Eclipse awards as well. And it was announced sometime within the last week. Knicks Go named the world's best racehorse, which makes it kind of special. Reflect back on really a spectacular 2021.
Yeah, no, it's been a great year. Obviously, Knicks Go capped things off at the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he had a phenomenal year. And, you know, in horse racing, it's, you know, can't rest. You got to keep going. And, you know, we find ourselves in the Pegasus tomorrow. And but just, you know, surrounded by a lot of great horses, great clients, great staff, and, you know, it puts you in a great position to succeed. And, you know, very proud of our team we have. And, you know, looking forward to continuing things in 2022.
Talk a little bit about that the World's Best Racehorse Award, because I think for a lot of people here in this country, it floats under the radar a little bit. International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities put together a list that comes out every few months and kind of based on a handicapping number, but they looked at the year and Knicks Go got, you know, that's pretty heady stuff. World's Best Racehorse. What was the reaction when you got that news?
Well, no, it's phenomenal. It's a great achievement. Obviously, the award's not been around a long time. There's been three American horses to take home the award. I believe Arrogate and American Pharoah won it as well. So, you know, to win an award that horses like that, Frankel and Abel, world-class horses have won, it's, you know, just an amazing achievement. And yeah, I think it's a group of handicappers throughout the world that come up with the ratings, and obviously people that are, you know exactly what's going on in racing. So, I mean, it's a serious award. I'm very proud of the horse and what he's accomplished and the award itself.
Yeah, as you say, from around the world. So it's an international award, which makes it more special. So, again, congratulations on that as well. But let's talk a little Knicks Go. And Saturday afternoon in the Pegasus World Cup, we're going to take a look at Knicks Go winning the Breeders' Cup Classic here. Knicks Go going to be the number five horse, took him all the way around. Could he get a mile and a quarter? Yes, he could, and did it pretty convincingly. Talk a little bit about how the year ended, this Breeders' Cup performance, and how after that plans were formulated to make it to the Pegasus World Cup this week.
Well, the Career Race Authority, you know, once the, you know, they made the comment, you know, they would like to retire him as stud, but if there was enough time to run him back in the Pegasus, which he had some success in 2021, you know, may as well take a chance as long as he was happy and healthy and training well, and he's doing all of those, and you know, we find him in a very good position on Saturday, and looking forward to trying to execute again in the Pegasus. Bounced out of the Classic in great order, and you know, here we are, and he's as good as he's ever been. It's really amazing that he could stay at such a top level for so long over the last really year and a half, really since he ran in the Breeders' Cup. He's just been you know, just spot on, very, you know, straightforward training, always has been. And you know, he just really, he got a break after the Saudi race. We took him from Saudi back to Keeneland, let him down for about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, and then got him back going. And, you know, it took us a little while to get him back. He didn't perform that well in the Met Mile, but then once we got his confidence back in the Cornhusker, he's been spot on ever since.
Yeah, I said at the time of the Cornhusker, I said, seems like maybe they're getting a little confidence builder, and mission accomplished. And up here, we saw him subsequently win the Whitney up at Saratoga, then the Lucas Classic and the Breeders' Cup Classic. Talk a little bit about Saturday's coming up, and as I said, wins the Breeders' Cup, and then immediately after that, with what Life is Good did in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, I think as racing fans, immediately after that weekend, we were all kind of thinking, oh, Pegasus, this will be a nice showdown, but it wasn't set until a little bit later. But once things got in motion, as racing fans, we have really been looking forward to this weekend, and I'm just curious if you and the connections have that kind of anticipation and juice for a big showdown like this as well.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm totally excited about it. I'm obviously in the business, but I'm a racing fan. That's what attracted me to the game to begin with. I mean, I love racing. I love watching good horses run, whether I have a horse in the race or not. I watch all the big races, and I'm a fan of racing myself. So, you know, it's just special to be a part of it, but obviously it's going to be great for racing and sports, period. So looking forward to the challenge, and, you know, our job's to prepare Nick Sko the best to our ability, and I feel like he's as good as he can get. He's been an absolute monster since he arrived here at Gulfstream, and training really well, and super excited about Saturday.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the PPs here, and before we went on the air, we talked, and this time of year, kind of your home base over there at the fairgrounds, he's been there a couple of bullet works leading into this. When did he get at Gulfstream? And you kind of alluded to it already, but how's he taken to the track? I assume he's been out, you know, kind of galloping around.
Yeah, he actually jogged on Tuesday morning. He galloped the last few mornings. We just jogged him this morning. It's kind of what we've started doing with him. His last few starts is jogging him the day before. So he just jogs one circuit the wrong way. Handled it well. I walked him myself this morning. He was a handful. I put him in, and he was, you know, just feeling well. You know, he's just ready to go. We schooled him yesterday. He schooled fantastic. And, you know, to say he's got his game face on is an understatement, because he's definitely ready to go. There's no doubt about it.
I like that. Well, give me your thoughts for Saturday afternoon. What are you anticipating? And I also have to ask, you know, it's only a field of nine in here, so post position isn't as important as it may be in other types of races, but you wound up the post position draw. You got the last call, and it was post position one. Any concerns about that? And again, what are you thinking for Saturday?
Yeah, no, zero concern with the post. I'm certainly fine with the post. I always say I'm more interested in how they come out than where they're coming from. So as long as he breaks good, we'll be fine. You know, we're going to run to the first turn, try to establish position, be aggressive like we always are, and he always is and wants to be. And we won't take away anything that comes easy to him. Obviously, you know, there's some other speed in there. What they do is up to them. And, you know, we know what we're doing. He knows his way around there. He has experience here at Gulfstream. And once again, looking forward to the race tomorrow.
Yeah, the win last year has to give you a little confidence. I mean, it was this race, so it's this trip and this track. So I'm assuming that has to add the confidence a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he's a horse that likes a track with wide turns and probably a little bit of a shorter stretch. You know, back in the summer, I was kind of thinking, you know, I obviously was a little unsure with a mile and a quarter, but when Breeders' Cup's at Del Mar, you know, definitely I think helps a horse like him with his running style and how he runs the turn so well. And, you know, you're getting a similar racetrack here at Gulfstream with wide turns and not the longest stretch. So, you know, I do think he likes the configuration of the racetrack here and most racetracks like this. So I think it'll play in his hand.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Again, as a racing fan, and I wish you a lot of good luck. I talked to Todd earlier for Saturday morning as well, and I said to him, I'm not saying who is who in the matchup, I'm just saying as fans, we're all hoping for the horse racing equivalent of the Bills versus the Chiefs on Saturday. And, you know, the headlines the next day after that were instant classics. So we're looking for a real fun edition of the Pegasus with that showdown we've all been waiting for. So wish you a lot of good luck there. But also want to talk a little bit about Nick Sko wraps things up on Saturday afternoon. But after last week, you have a new handicap division horse to look forward to as well. That solid group of three-year-olds last year, you had Essential Quality in there, you had Mandaloon in there, and Mandaloon came back last week down at the fairgrounds in Louisiana. We're going to watch the stretch run here. Mandaloon is going to be the number two horse, Midnight Bourbon the number three. There's a battle here as we pick it up coming into the stretch, but Mandaloon eventually pulls away to get three-quarters of a length on the chart, a 106 buyer. Talk about this comeback to the races. Mandaloon had been on the sidelines since last July. You had to be thrilled with this.
Yeah, huge, huge effort, and really bounced out of it in great shape. You know, you never really know when they come off a layoff how they're going to perform, if they're going to move forward from three to four. He physically looked like he had moved forward. So he gives a lot of confidence, but, you know, it was a good group of horses. The runner-up was a very, very good horse. And, you know, he was set a good trip. Laurent gave him a great ride, and he really responded when he was asked. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he can build off this bigger and better things this year. You know, once again, you know, Saudi Cup is our goal over the next month or so, and we'll see if we can get him there in good order and go from there.
Yeah, he was certainly, as I say, impressive off a layoff like that to pop a buyer like that. Did Florent have any comments after the race himself?
No, I just said, you know, he's more polished mentally and physically, just sitting on him. Just like, wow, he's just bigger, stronger, faster horse, I think. And that's what's supposed to happen. He's older, he's developing, and he's, you know, hopefully going to take some steps the right way this year.
Yeah, no question about it. Before we let you go, I want to hit on some other horses that either upcoming or just in reflection, because as I say, you have a number of horses up for Eclipse Awards in a few weeks, and one I've already mentioned a little bit, but I just wanted to talk and let you reflect a little bit on the season of Essential Quality last year, which by the end of the year, I think we all agreed it was a pretty solid crop of three-year-olds, and Essential Quality was right amongst the top there. As a homer, I'm going to pull up a replay to watch August 28th, the Travers last year. Essential Quality and Midnight Bourbon, throw it down in the stretch with Essential Quality, the number two horse, getting it done. And as I say, it was a really nice season for Essential Quality among a tough crop of three-year-olds. Just reflect back on last year with Essential Quality.
No, I mean, just, you know, obviously what he accomplished at two was big, and then for him to transfer that form to three was, huge. For him to start with the Southwest and then a big run in the Bluegrass, and I thought maybe ran the biggest race in the Kentucky Derby with the ground loss.
Yeah.
Just a fantastic year. And, you know, we set our sights on the Travers, but after the Derby, honestly, we couldn't keep him on the ground, and I didn't have a clue how I was going to train him for 3 months without running him to get to the Travers. So we turned our attention toward the Belmont. He was able to win that classic, and then the Jim Dandy, and obviously the Travers. But, you know, a fantastic year, a durable horse, a sound horse, a tremendous stamina, great mind, and hopefully that'll translate into him being a fantastic sire. His race in the Breeders' Cup Classic was a very, very good effort as well. Maybe not quite as much pace on as they expected in the Classic, and, you know, he really closed and passed some very, very good horses down the lane. He was coming, but, you know, a horse that's obviously been brilliant from day one since he walked in our barn, and hopefully, you know, once again, it translates over to him in the Stallion barn, and a lot of his, you know, we'll see his offspring here in a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was third in the Breeders' Cup, but he fired a 108 buyer. I'm a buyer's guy, so that was a very solid performance. We talked a little bit before we went on the air, and you updated me. You have a nice two-year-old filly from last year as well. Obviously now a three-year-old, but I wanted an update on Juju's Map. We're going to take a look at one of her nice wins last year in the Alcibiades at Keeneland early in October. Juju's Map's going to be the number one horse. Where is she now as far as training and returning to the three-year-old season, and do you have a target in mind?
She just resumed training about a week ago. We gave her a break after the Breeders' Cup. No rush with her. She's back under tack and light training and increasing her workload daily. And then, you know, we'll see. No race in mind. We're hopeful maybe we can get a run in, and if it's, you know, up to standards, you know, we can maybe look at the Kentucky Oaks. But right now we're just, you know, day at a time with her. She's doing well. And, you know, not just the Kentucky Oaks, but, you know, she's a filly that we're, you know, mapping out a whole year for. There's races such as the Acorn and a lot of special races there for serial fillies at Saratoga. So we're hopeful that, you know, she's something that we can bring to Saratoga this summer.
Yeah, and she started her career last summer at Ellis Park, and I'll ask you, I ask everybody who participates with the two-year-olds at Ellis. I mean, obviously, again, I'm a homer, I'm a Saratoga guy, I love to see the two-year-olds up at Saratoga, but boy, I think the Ellis program over the past 2-3 years, the two-year-olds at Ellis in the summer, it's been a very productive route for people. Do you agree?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah, it's been very good to us, great place to develop young horses. Kind of reminds me of what Calder used to be maybe 20 years ago. Oftentimes, the horse out of Calder and, you know, would be able to compete at the graded stake level in the fall, whether they were private purchased or brought up north for races. But I think definitely Ellis Park is what Calder once was for racing in the Midwest and the East Coast in regards to developing young horses, for sure.
Yeah, very interesting. But I certainly jumped out over the past few years. The eldest two-year-olds have developed into three-year-olds you have to watch, and Juju's Map may likely be one of those on the Philly side. Wanted to hit on a couple other horses. Vivar, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, another one to look for out of your barn on Saturday afternoon. That one will be going in the Southwest. We're going to take a look at a Keeneland allowance win from late October at the mile and a 16th. This was an off-the-turf event, but Vivar will be the number six horse. What are your thoughts on this one in Saturday Southwest at Oaklawn?
He's a nice colt. Drew the outside. We're adding blinkers. I do think he'll like the mile and 16th. He doesn't have a lot of speed, but he'll come running. He's got some stamina, and you know, hopefully there'll be some pace to run at. It's a large field, so I'm hopeful that there will be a good setup for him. And going from the mile last time to the mile and 16th should benefit him.
And I also wanted to go back a week ago. I believe it's a fairly new stakes race at Turfway. The Leonatus, $100,000 for three-year-olds, but three-year-old stakes winners this time of the year, you always have to take a little bit of an interest. And you had a race win. We're going to watch the stretch drive. A race is going to be the number four horse. Wins by a couple of open lengths here. It was only the fourth career start. And it, as I say, a performance in a stakes race early in the season for a three-year-old, always worth paying attention to. What was your takeaway from this win by a race last week, and what might be the game plan going forward?
He will probably keep there on the synthetic and, you know, prep for the stake in the March with one race. So that'll be our goal right now, is just to keep him there, turf wing campaign throughout the winter. And, you know, there's a nice race there that has Derby points connected to it. So, you know, we'll try that route, see where it leads, and go from there. He really seems to like the synthetic. That was his first start around two turns. We've kind of thought for a while now that benefits from two turns, and he seemed to in his first run around it.
Yeah, he clearly appreciated that. He'd broken the maiden a couple of starts back at Indiana Grand and then had a little experience over the Turfway synthetic sprinting in the previous race, but again, seemed to appreciate the two turns last time. And finally, I'll just ask you about one more you have on Saturday at Gulfstream, and the inside information, kind of new to the barn, just one time, comes down from some starts at Pennsylvania, Presque Isle Downs, and Penn National, four wins and five career starts. Horse with maybe a little bit of promise, as I say, new to your barn. What's your takeaway on just one time in the time you've had her, and what are your thoughts on Saturday afternoon for that one?
But we really like her. We picked her up back in November. We've had her in the barn a while, and you know, she's trained well enough to give us the confidence to ship her over here for a graded stake. Obviously, she's done most of her running there in Pennsylvania, and she seemed to you know, come in very good move in Philly, great workhorse. And you know, once again, she's you know, we don't really know her that well. We've done all we can do with her in regards to training her, schooling her, standing her in the gate, and once again, she's given us enough confidence to try this graded stake. She's somewhat lightly raced compared to some of these other fillies and mares that have more experience, but you know, just based off talent, what she's told us of showed us of the mornings, you know, I feel confident that she'll make a good account of herself in her first start under our care.
Yeah, very interesting. Lately raced and coming down from Pennsylvania, but I think she's an interesting entrant in there. Brad, as always, we appreciate the time. Know it's always busy on these stakes weekends, so we appreciate you taking the time. And again, wish you a lot of good luck and congratulations on the 2021 season, and good luck going into the Eclipse Awards for yourself and some of your horses. And I'm whispering now, I think you have a couple of slam dunks in there, but we'll see how it plays out. But more importantly, as far as this weekend, we wish you a lot of luck. Just as racing fans, really looking forward to Saturday afternoon in Pegasus. So good luck there. And again, thanks for the time.
Very good, Seth. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Brad Cox, trainer of Nixco and more on Saturday afternoon.
Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this big Saturday morning. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And again, we really appreciate the time. Always on a big week like this, we know time is precious. And so Todd Pletcher taking the time, Brad Cox taking the time with the two big guns, Life is Good versus Knicks Go. We really appreciate their time. And obviously we appreciate Ron Nicoletti joining us as well with some of his thoughts, because a busy time for the team down at Gulfstream as well. We will be tuned into them this afternoon. Don't forget, the big race is over on NBC, but obviously Ron and the team will have paddock commentary all day long, pregame show as well. Ron and Brian, Acacia, and they have Naomi has come in from Maryland. Lots of times there's, you know, being same ownership of the track, they'll go back and forth from Maryland to Gulfstream on big days like this. So should be a lot of fun this afternoon. I'm really looking forward. Again, just fingers crossed that that showdown materializes in the Pegasus World Cup, but a great undercard of stakes action as well. It really is going to be a lot of fun. Let me just update you here with cancellations and whatnot. And again, we were talking, the guys in the control room and folks who have come in recently, I mentioned this morning when I drove in, take it slow. Seems like things are still a little we didn't get a lot of snow, but the roads are still a little slick out there. And I was saying mid-morning, if it's still a little snowy, maybe we'll be into, you know, lunchtime or early afternoon before things get totally cleared up. As I say, we didn't get a lot of snow, so it's not a stay home kind of a thing, but it's if you're going out, give yourself a little extra time and just take it easy on your travels, as I say, maybe until lunchtime or so, and then I would think they would start to have it cleaned up. But my experience down the Northway, you know, I was three-quarter speed, I guess, coming down. So, again, it's not one of those, hey, stay home, but take your time. But given the weather up and down the coast today, canceled. Aqueduct, no Aqueduct today. Freehold is canceled. Mahoning is canceled. Charlestown, Meadowlands, those are the cancellations so far. But that leaves, again, plenty of great action for us. Highlighted by Gulfstream. I mentioned the two nice stakes at Oaklawn today. They're going to be fun. The King Cotton with Nashville, the three-year-olds in the Southwest. Should be very, very intriguing. That fun eighth race at Tampa with $7 million. $7 million of Godolphin horse flesh in there. We'll see how those horses fare over at Tampa. Don't forget, early post time today at Gulfstream, 11:30. That means our branches are opening early today at 11. So all the branches open up in just about an hour. Take advantage of that. Clubhouse Racebook today, we have a bankroll. That's going to be a lot of fun. I will try to knock it out of the park. I always try to knock it out of the park, though. Sometimes it works, sometimes not so much. But the bankrolls last year, there were some nice ones, and we'll try to make today's nice as well. Come down to the Clubhouse Racebook, put your name in the hat early on. We'll select the team. I'm guessing 1 o'clock or so we'll select the team. So come on down to the Racebook and join in the fun. See if you can get on the team for this afternoon. If you're going to stick home, we have a knockout challenge online, so you can enjoy that action as well. Just looking at my notes here and seeing if I've covered everything, and I think I have. Want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Appreciate their support, the support from Gulfstream Park during the championship meet. All right, it's been a fun show. Hopefully we gave out some information useful not only today, but maybe going into the future as well. I'm Seth Merrill. This has been Racing Across America. I'll come back and we'll do a little early portion here. This afternoon I'm going to be out in the front portion of the Racebook with the bankroll, and we'll have some cut-ins for that. But early portion, we'll be here in the studio taking a look at some of the early races and with Gulfstream kicking off at 11:30. We'll probably be back in about an hour and a half or so. In the meantime, the Gulfstream pregame show should start, I'm not quite sure how soon, but that'll be a little bit earlier today, obviously, as well, with their 11:30 post time. So the action, fast and furious this afternoon. Plenty of it, even with these tracks that have canceled due to weather. That will be a lot of fun today. Hopefully it will include a lot of fun at the windows cashing tickets. That's going to be the game plan for all of us. But we really appreciate you tuning in this morning, as always. Handicapper support, Racing Across America. We're back Racing Across America tomorrow as well. And again, also the National Handicapping Championship is going on out in Las Vegas. I'm going to reach out and get an update on, again, I was trying to get a rundown on some of the locals that may be in. Typically, there's a number of folks from the upstate area that make the contest. And normally, I get a bio list. I haven't gotten one yet. But again, I'll reach out. Our friend Steve Bix out there, at least I'll give him a text message, and he'll have an update on any locals out there. And I'll try to update you today if there are some locals who are maybe moving up, because, of course, you get to the end of today, and then there's the cut, and you got to make tomorrow, and then there's the cut midday tomorrow that gets to the last 10 folks. So we'll see if any locals are out there for us to root for as we reach the home stretch later today in the National Handicapping Championship out in Vegas. So a lot of fun today and over the weekend here at Capital OTB and racing in general. So we'll wrap up this edition of Racing Across America. Again, back 11:30 post time, Gulfstream Park. We'll kick in a little before that with OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.